well, good morning, honorable members, all ministers, together with all the entities of the Department of Communication that are present here for the strategic plan together with the APPs. We sincerely appreciate that every entity is represented. It may be a little bit difficult to introduce all of you, but the department will ensure that everyone is introduced at the end of the day. It can either be through the introduction when a presentation is done for the entity, or maybe if we choose to just do a roundup introduction, that I will leave in the hands of the department. Honorable members, good morning to all of you, and I'll just make a quick introduction of members that are present here. And I'll start at the back there. There is Honorable W. Madisha. Then there is Honorable Van Dyck. And then there is Honorable Kekana. And then there is Honorable, yeah, is that Honorable Kekana? Now, after Honorable Kekane, I don't know can we what her point is, but then we are coming to Honorable Van Skalkwyk, who will be consistently be with us from now onwards. There is Honorable Mashoba next to Honorable Van Skalkwyk, also who will be part of us and welcomed in the portfolio committee. There is Honorable Mashoba, I've already talked. Honorable Kadime here, you know? Yeah, actually, honorable members, welcome and thank you for being part of us in the process of dealing with communications. And just for the to indicate to the members of the entities, you'll see them much more often. They'll be working with you. They are part of the portfolio committee. And there's a member that you all know that has been part of the portfolio committee, which is Honorable Zedi here at the end. Thanks, honorable members. So along that, I'm Honorable Moloi Moropa. I'm sure most of us you know. The minister who is actually heading all the entities is Honorable Faith Mutambi, the honorable member of parliament, who is actually heading the Department of Communication. Thanks, Minister Mutambi, for your presence and allowing us to do this work of dealing with the APPs. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to outline what we're going to do for today. I need to emphasize and indicate that it's a very tight day, but safe to say that because now we're used to the entities, it might not necessarily make us to do the digging to the latter, because we actually now have an understanding, know the entities, have visited all the entities, in the exception of only the SAPC, all of them. So we had thorough interaction with all of you. You have sent the documents well ahead in time. Members have gone through those documents thoroughly, and therefore it might not necessarily be like you're starting all over. We will actually make sure that we end up particularly on areas that emerge as new. Also, we will be guided in terms of your plans, in terms of your strategic plans, in terms of your APPs as the intention or the overall intention of this meeting. So we shouldn't feel like we're going to have 30 minutes presentation. It may well take 15 minutes, 10 minutes. And we have the intention of running through most entities today, you know, as much as is possible, because the day of tomorrow has been slightly changed where there are meetings of chairpersons and whips which might not necessarily be present. And because of that, we try to really run all the most entities. We can remain with one or two for tomorrow. So I would need your cooperation as well in terms of dealing with that. With the knowledge that, remember that once you do the presentation, it's not like you're starting from scratch. You are talking to members who got your documents well in advance, who have read most, and who would ask you if there are areas where they need to zoom into. So that's how we're going to proceed for today. For for us to really cover sufficient ground. I would be very glad if only two entities remain, not anything, nothing more than that, because tomorrow's day will end at 12:30, and this same venue, unfortunately, is the venue that is taken for the meeting of the chairpersons and the whips tomorrow. So we don't have a full day tomorrow. It's just sized into half. Because of that, the corporation will assist me. So let me outline how we're going to deal with this. We are going to have, again, a brief presentation as a start by the Auditor General. Very brief, going through all the entities. I haven't seen them today, and I don't see their presentation or wonderful. I would need them to just possibly be in the front here while I'm still doing the talking, so that they are ready and can move on with their task. The presentation should be up as well, because they'll be the first ones to start. Second, it will be the analysis, a brief analysis, which Mr. Malika from the Portfolio Committee, the Content Advisor, will just do. It will also take around 10 minutes. Obviously, I won't really request that we have questions to the Auditor General. We can ask the Auditor General as members, just areas of clarity. But in terms of why this, why that, when entities present, they will respond to what the Auditor General has talked to. So if it can work that way, okay, that's how we're going to deal with it. So that presentation will be giving us an outline even as members, and we'll be expecting issues and errors that are raised by the AG when entities present, respond to them decisively, and that's where we can have an engagement. After the Auditor General, there's a request. We were supposed to immediately deal with the department as an overarching body for the entire entities. But now, with a special request from the Minister, based on the TIDE program, you know, the GCIS has to immediately be released to go to Pretoria. We will start with the GCIS and then follow up with the Department of Communications, have ICASA, and then have the SABC in that order. Yes, possibly there's a reason. The Minister is mobilizing for the Brenda's aid to also get zoomed into this program. We'll be real glad if we can have it in that order, and we'll try to move that way. So once we make questions, let's consider that we have this day that we want to cover all these things, and if we can, you know, utilize our time efficiently, we can manage. And I know that I'll receive that maximum cooperation from everyone else. So we must do this task. It is very critical. Again, while I'm still there, I know that the entities that know that they were supposed to come next week, you know, because the programs get congested and so on, that we had to adjust and then bring them forward. But we appreciate that we did get a cooperation, you know, from all of them, you know, to come forward. And we sincerely apologize for that. It's based on the tightness of the program of Parliament. Otherwise, we expect that we'll deal with other entities and the others next week. Unfortunately, the program could not allow us, and we therefore had to use the committee days that are given to us to finalize this, so that we can deal with the follow-ups and engagements leading to the budget vote debate. Yes, we will do all this after all these issues that I've outlined, after I've just given out who then amongst the members, because I've introduced those that are here, who amongst them is not present. We have the apology from Honorable Ndlozi, who is engaged with party commitments, and there's an apology from Honorable Ndabeni for the Cabinet Committee meeting. There's also another apology from Honorable Sodesi, who is in Telcom. Honorable Ndongeni, as well as in telecoms, there are members that are sharing telecoms and communications. So that we trade, you know, sometimes we agree, okay, let them go this side, sometimes let them be here for now. You know, in our trading, I was beaten. They had to be in telecoms. I was beaten. You know, but nonetheless, we are balanced in terms of doing the work. That does not destabilize the portfolio policy. There's also, that is Honorable Totesi and Honorable Ndongeni. And then we also have an apology from Honorable Davis, who is also indicating that he had other commitments. And therefore, that's how we'll proceed with the members that are present. Okay. Honorable members, then quickly, I need to indicate to members, after I have outlined the program, the tightness of Parliament, that we have distributed the program for this quarter. It's the second term, am I right? Yeah. So in the second term, I'm going to quickly take you through the program and request that we adopt it. And I don't want to spend a lot of time with adoption of the program. Of course, it's the 21st and 22nd matters that I've just outlined of the business of why we're meeting today, the APCs, and then getting to the 28th. On the 28th, members, we will be sitting, it's a subcommittee meeting in the morning that will be sitting for the shortlisting of ICAS. After that meeting, we're still going to have a committee meeting. Therefore, members should know that we're meeting again on that day because the shortlisted names have to be adopted by the committee as number one. And therefore, it is a committee day for the entire day, we had to take a very burning presentation that has to happen in the portfolio committee that has been, you know, has been tabled before me, and the request that has been coming from various entities of the disability sector. We therefore wanted to start with that, but how we're going to start with it will be the briefing by the Department of Social Development on the state of people living with disabilities in relation to communication, in relation to our sector. So we'll start with the department. Let's hear what the government has done first before we go to those stakeholders, because they are, you know, they have a burning desire to come and present before Parliament. So we will also take that presentation. Therefore, after the members, it's not only a meeting for adoption, but we're also going to have that. We have actually thought it's an opportunity to also slot it in on that day. On the 5th, there will be an adoption of the strategic plans. I'm sure by then we'll have engaged thoroughly with the entities. Follow-up questions will have been answered, and then we'll have integrated that into our report, and then it will be a meeting that will be convened to ensure that we also adopt that report for those threat plans for the Department of Communication. We will also, coupled with that, deal with the shortlisting for the SABC. I will explain that later, what does it mean in terms of that, because we will take that with both programs. But the shortlisting, then we will release members. It will be a subcommittee that proceeds with the shortlisting. On Tuesday the 12th, we will be having the interviews of candidates for the SABC. And then on the 19th, we will be having the interviews. Yes, in fact, those are Tuesdays, both of them. They might confuse a bit. The other Tuesday is the 12th. The next Tuesday is the 19th. It will be the interviews for ICASA. Of course, maybe members shouldn't mind. We might swap them around if there's a need to do so. We might take ICASA to be on the 19th and ICASA to be on the 12th, and maybe SABC to be on. No. It's correct the way it is. SAPC will be the 12th, and then ICASA will be the 19th. And thereafter, on the 20th, we've got the budget vote debate on communication. Minister Mutambi there is allocated to do the budget vote on the 20th of May. On the 26th, and then on our program, we've got the briefing on the Memorandum of Incorporation of the SAPC, the Broadcasting Charter, the legislation and governance instruments for various entities under the Department of Communication. That is the 26th. It's also the other one. It's also per request, the last one on from the department. On Tuesday, it will be a progress report done by Minister Mutambi on the state of the digital migration. On the 9th of June, we will assemble the quarterly reports of the entities of the GUC together with the GUC itself. So that's where we are in terms of the program. Members, I've outlined it, and I need to know if presenting this program, is there a member who moves for the adoption of the program? If there are no other issues, are there issues along the program, members? Otherwise, if there are no issues, Honorable Kedwin had already raised her hand to adopt the program, seconded by Honorable Faith. Thank you, Honorable Members. Can we then proceed and request the Auditor General, Musa, you will do the entire introduction of everyone and then proceed with the presentation. Of course, I know it's not a very long presentation. It's summarized we'll just zoom into very, very important things. Over to you, AG South Africa.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And good morning, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Musa Songwa. I'm the leader of my team from the Auditor General. I'm assisted by the two managers, Promise and Nick, who will be assisting me with the presentation. As the Honorable Chair has said, it's not long presentation. We have made presentations before, and this is just a summary, a broad outline of what cases we have presented before. We are going to start with our reputation promise, which precedes all our presentations and which reminds the audience who we are, what we stand for. The Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate, and as the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa, it exists to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. The matters we are going to cover in this presentation include the purpose of the presentation, the summary of the 2013-14 audit outcome, current year audit status, clean administration. Starting with the purpose of the presentation, this is to provide the members with the necessary information on the audit status of the portfolio of communications, which will include the audit outcomes of last year, the action plans coming from our findings, and the audit status coming from what we have looked at so far this year to see how far the different entities have gone about looking at addressing our findings of the previous year. And we are looking at the six entities. We are looking at the government, Communications Information System, GCIS, SADC, ICASA, MBDA, Brand South Africa, and the Films and Publications Board, which will come out as we look at the at each one, the findings that were looked at last year, and also how far the matters stand at the moment. At this point, I'll just hand over to Promise, who are going to take us now through the outcomes and the action plans for each entity. Thank you.
Thank you, Musa. Maybe if you can start by reflecting on what happened last year in terms of the audit outcomes. As you can see there on the slide, the other entities did not change, with MDDA being a clean audit. And then SAEC improved from having an adverse opinion into a qualified audit. You will see that on our presentation, in terms of the progress report and stuff, the focus is mainly going to be on FAUC since they had the qualification, so it's those guys who actually have to improve in terms of addressing the qualification issues from last year. The way we structured our presentation is to look at the qualification paragraph as the audit report, which I think everyone has had a look at. So I'm going to look at the qualification area, and from the interim audit that we've done at the client, and then we'll say what's the progress that we are aware of, and what's the estimated completion dates which the client, or rather management of SAGC, has committed on, and what have we looked at in terms of the audit reports, the media reports, and we'll just consider any other matter which we feel is going to be important to the honorable members. On the PD licenses, I mean, we all are aware of the issue there that it's mainly the accounting treatment. They are using the cash basis instead of the accrual basis, and there's some issues with the database used for billing purposes of the customers. So they, in terms of progress, there's been a couple of consultants which have been appointed, and others are in the process of being appointed. Because in terms of rectifying the qualification paragraph, there's a couple of things and issues to consider. For example, one of them is the data cleansing of the database. Another one is to look at the accounting treatment to see what the options or the possibilities which SABC might consider. So and then again, there's an issue on cessation. The TV licenses, are they attracting that? Are they going to attract on a core basis or on cash basis? So as of now, there's been an application sent by management of SAGC to try and get the exemption on that. And then the estimated completion date, again, remember, these dates are the dates that is placed, which is based on engagement with management, which the commitment was going to be end of April. And then we haven't done anything there because, I mean, we can't go in and look into the system unless the consultants have completed their scope. And our approach is we'll make sure that our IT auditors are going to be involved in the entire system development to make sure that we eliminate the duplication of work. And then in terms of PPE, which is pretty much being property, plant, and equipment, again, there's been consultants which we have brought in last year already, which are pretty much looking at the fixed asset register to make sure that it's complete and accurate. So thus far, we've been advised that it's going to be completed end of April, so there will be figures basically in the financial statement submitted for the audit. So thus far, in terms of the interim audit, we haven't done anything there because, I mean, we will need to complete an accurate fixed register before we start doing any audit work. And then in terms of the taxation, again, we've brought in an accounting firm to look at the possible tax liabilities and some compliance issues there. I'm aware that they're already at SABC. We've received the scope of their work, which you will see in the interim audits. We have looked at the scope. Maybe I can bring to your attention that we haven't actually done any audit work because they still not complete their stuff. So we've just looked at the scope, which pretty much will cover in more detail the issues that we had in the previous audit. One thing maybe to bring to your attention, honorable members, is the potential liability which will come from the cleanup. Because, I mean, the fact that there were qualifications and issues in the previous audits, so as they're rectifying them, it might just increase the tax liability. And then the other payables, they pretty much linked to your other qualification paragraphs, because, I mean, they were looking pretty much at the tax liability. So the fact that your property, plant, and equipment, your TV licenses are qualified or significantly misstated, it would have an impact on the possible liability. So as management clears all these other qualification paragraphs, so eventually this will be cleared also. Again, the deferred government grants, the issue there was there's a specific standard, the International Accounting Standard 20, which pens out or defines how revenue should be recognized from the government grants which are linked into the specific assets. So in this case, the fact that property, plant and equipment was qualified and stated, so surely even the revenue recognition on specifically on the government grants is also going to be stated. So if the PPE qualification is cleared, automatically the qualification on the government grant will also be cleared. And then on the mobile income, the issue with this one was they're using the service providers to collect revenue on their behalf. But the issue is the service providers are using their internal controls, and then they only submit the tally or the report of all the revenue which has been collected and paid over to the ADP. The issue which we had there was there wasn't any external assurance which confirmed that revenue is actually accurate and complete. So the progress which the SADC has made thus far is to instruct those service providers to tell them that they should engage with their external auditors and obtain the assurance report. And from the engagements we had with management, it's going to be completed end of May. And on our side, what we've done, as per our audit methodology, we've issued our request directly to the external auditors, because they must assess all those internal controls and confirm even the numbers, or rather the revenue, which has been paid over to SADC to make sure it's complete. So we need to issue the request to them, because they're going to respond directly to us. So, I mean, we've been in contact with those auditing firms and stuff. The last two is being IFRS disclosure. This one, from the engagements again we've had with the client, it's pretty much in the last phase of being here. I mean, the issue was there's a specific IFRS 7 disclosure requirement which pretty much talks about the age analysis. So it's the whole thing of tracking how old the debt has been, 30 days, 50 days, 90 days. So the issue here was the payment. You might find that the invoice has been outstanding for 90 days, but the payment is only allocated to 30 days. So it's pretty much more of a system configuration issue, which, again, a consultant has been interrogating the actual master file and the database holding those invoices. And I'm aware that they are in the last phases. But I mean, it's an area that we're going to look at when we're doing the final audit. Because, I mean, it's more of a disclosure issue. We could not have any benefits to look at it now. And then, in terms of irregular, fruitless, and useful expenditure, on this one, the CFO has engaged the accounting firm also to give you a look at all the contracts and all the quotations for the past 3 years. I mean, we've been qualifying a regular fruitless and useful expenditure for the past 3 years. So, which means once the scope of the accounting firm is complete, they've interrogated all the control, all the contracts, they've looked at all the quotations. Now, we need to go back and test the past 4 years to make sure that that disclosure is actually accurate and complete. So, from the engagements we had with the CFO, we're looking pretty much around end of May when the accounting firm is gonna finish with the scope of their work before we can start doing anything in terms of those years. Okay, and then on the compliance matters, I mean, you will remember that there was a couple of compliance paragraphs on the audit report of SADC. So, I mean, specifically on the audit of predetermined objectives, we had issues on the usefulness, which is pretty much measurability. The KPIs were not well defined. The targets were not in compliance with SMART criteria and all of that. So, in terms of the progress that the SADC has done, they've looked at the prior findings and incorporated the issues that we had in the new APPs and the corporate plans of the 14-15. Okay. In terms of the estimated completion dates, I mean, obviously, it's been done. And then on our side, thus far, we've just looked at the compliance part, the compliance part of the audit, rather than to look deeply into the KPIs, whether they are well-defined, the targets are smart. But I must bring it to your attention, honorable members, that last year we did a pre-review of these APTs and we gave an input into those. Unfortunately, it was not done in the current year for the NEP financial year. But yeah, and then again, on the reliability, which is pretty much now the APR, that's the annual performance report. It's basically the actual. So if you look at the last year's compliance issues, they're pretty much linked into the usefulness. Because I mean, if we can't satisfy ourselves in terms of the system to collate the information to report them, so surely you're going to be limited to conclude on whether is it valid, is it accurate, or is it complete. And then these were the compliance matters again, which are in the audit report. What I did not do is to individually give feedback on the progress which they've made, because in essence these are pretty much linked into the qualification paragraph. I mean, you look at the annual, okay, you look at the procurement and contract management, that's closely linked into the qualification paragraph of a regular expenditure. Again, you look at expenditure management, which talks about the do not systems to prevent or detect the regular expenditure. So once that qualification paragraph is cleared, automatically this compliance paragraph will be resolved also. I mean, again, it's up to revenue management, which is closely linked to TV licenses and your mobile income. Again, with the management, once the asset register is there, it's complete. So the compliance issues around asset management will be resolved. The only two that I should emphasize to the honorable members is, firstly, the annual financial statement. Pretty much this compliance paragraph came from the material corrections which were effected by management in the last year's financial statement submitted for audit. So in terms of the progress thus far, management has come up with a framework, with a year-end reporting framework, and with obviously the milestones and the deadline as to how long will be the end period where they can process their accruals and stuff like that. So again, unfortunately, we'll only be able to see the effectiveness of that framework once they've submitted credible financial statements. And then another one maybe which I should bring to your attention is consequence management, which was one of the major issues which we had last year in terms of you might find that the employees are gonna contravene laws and regulations, but there hasn't been anything which is done to those employees. Well, not even done to those employees, but I mean to investigate the non-compliance, pretty much linked to the regular expenditure. So once the accounting firm has completed their scope in terms of looking at the prior contract, so we are hopeful that there will be some sort of consequence management as required by CFLA. Which brings me to the end of SADC. And then we're going to look briefly into the other three entities, which is pretty much ICASA and GCIS. On these two, it's just going to be compliance matters, because I mean they were financially unqualified. So ICASA, the issue there was again on the audit of predetermined objective, the usefulness of objective four. But what management has done of the entity is they presented a workshop to the staff in terms of making sure that the KPIs that they come up with are going to be well defined, are going to be consistent between what they say they were going to do and what they're actually reporting on their APR. So the estimated date is mid-April, and what we've done, we can't do anything now, because remember, we only have the plan, we don't have the report. The report by law is only going to be submitted to us end of May. So only then we'll be looking at the actual report. But we were part of the workshop, which was held on September. And then another compliance issue which was there at the CASA was expenditure management, which is pretty much linked to your regular expenditure. So we are not aware of any progress which has been made thus far. The only thing that we know is there's been a forensic audit which has been instigated by management, and we are not aware of any estimated date thus far. So we are not in a position of giving any information, because I mean, we haven't done much work around it, because as I said, we're not aware of any progress in terms of the action plan. Okay. And then lastly, the internal audit. The issue last year is we do not have any appropriate sufficient evidence which proves that they reviewed the effectiveness of the controls and gave recommendations to management. And we have not been privy of any action plan. However, what we can say on the brief review that we've had of the functioning of internal audit thus far, it's been operating as per their approved plan. So hopefully, this compliance matter might be resolved in the current year. And then in terms of the GCIS, the issue there again is the material correction. There were too many material mistakes which were resolved after the audit process and the prior. So what management has done thus far is to try and incorporate internal audit in terms of just making sure that they check the controls which are producing those numbers on the financial statements. And in terms of the estimated completion dates, looking at end of April. And we have not significantly reviewed those reports which the internal audit came up with. However, from our interim audits, we haven't identified any significant issues which would make a panic attack. And then there were issues again on the HR compliance, which management, they've put proper controls in place to make sure this happens for every person in terms of the verification of the qualifications and stuff like that. So in the interim audit, we've looked at the appointments which were made, and we've considered whether the verifications were done and those. And then on the other three entities, I mean, it is just the major issue. On the two, the brand SA and the FTP, the major issue was the material correction, which we don't have any progress to report thus far, because we are not privy of the action plan. And then at MDDA, as I said, there is a clean audit, so there is no follow-up which we get. We're just hopeful that they are going to obtain another clean audit in the current year. In terms of the current status thus far, at SABC we've done two interim audits. We're pretty much looking at the 9 months. The first interim was 6 months, and then we topped it up by another 3 months. And we're planning to go back and do the final audit on the 5th of May, hoping to issue our audit report on time this year, on the 31st of July. And then at ICASA, again, we've done two interim audits where we've covered the 11 months, and we'll be going back in on the 15th of May. And then at GCIS, we only did one interim very late in the financial year, but we've looked at the majority of the period covered in that year, which has been 10 months, and we are planning to go back in on the 15th of May. I included this slide maybe as more or less a nice to have in terms of clean administration, which is meant to improve the service delivery. I mean, it requires the efforts of everyone. You can see this. With robust financial performance management systems, which are highly effective, with the adequate oversight and accountability of all, with the independent and relevant reporting by the AGSA, and with the commitment and ethical behavior from everyone. Surely, all this inclusive efforts would translate into clean administration, which therefore would translate into adequate and improved service delivery. Nice rainbow colors, which brings me to the end of my presentation.
Honorable Chair, this is the end of our presentation. Thank you.
Find out how to plan around the car. Oh, okay. We have done a brief of all of them, unless you have issues that can be raised specifically on other entities. Okay, that's great. Okay, thank you very much. I will actually encourage that, especially when the GOC presents, if you are there, you know, so that we can be able to tell you some points, you know, in terms of moving forward, because we will have a follow-up meeting with yourself where we have the department together with the audit committee of the department. Yes, we will actually structure it in such a way that we could look in details in terms of the audit matters, particularly on the indicators. So we will have a follow-up meeting at a later stage when we've already allowed the department to deal with the implementation of the new APP, of the APPs that they are presenting at the moment, once we will be dealing with quarterly reports at some point. But if you don't mind, really, it's important that you really understand, especially to understand what is the approach that the department intends to take on a long-term basis, so that you can be able to have a collaborated approach once we discuss this matter. And thank you very much. Sure. Honourable members, are there very, very urgent things that you needed to ask maybe before I release them? Otherwise, we will integrate all other issues with the entity's presentation. Thank you.
Just a statement, Chair, if you don't mind, please. As they leave, then, they do so on the conclusion that nothing has been done as yet, because they made a statement that no qualification, etc., etc. That is the conclusion. But then here they've mentioned really that no audit work was done altogether. And that is what has been written here as well. I just want that to be clear as they live, so that we know what to discuss next.
Did you capture what Honorable Lisa is asking? Would you like to respond to that?
Honorable members, as I explained that we've looked at the interim audit, we pretty much, with more specifically at ABC, we've looked at 9 months in terms of those areas. Obviously, we do not qualify because the information is there. But on the qualification areas specifically, the fact that they're still busy resolving those issues, we can only look at those specific issues. For example, property, plant, and equipment, which is assets, we can only look at them once we've received the accurate and complete asset register. But in terms of the audit work, we've done pretty much the significant amount of work on the income statement. It's just that it's on those qualification areas which we can find. Thank you.
No, Chair, we'll remain talking about that. I think there is a problem. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Let's pause it there at that and proceed to the next issue, considering that we're still engaged on other events. Okay. I want to believe that Mr. Malika is ready and will be taking us briefly in terms of the analysis of of the entities. We are basing also this in terms of, on the report and the presentation that has been sent. Okay, let's hear.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chair President, Honorable Members and colleagues. This particular presentation will focus specifically on the department itself as the lead department of the entities. It's safe to say that the department is responding to the outcome number 14, nation building and social cohesion. And in that, its role will be to review this and streamline the communication legislation, develop and implement the overarching communications policy, develop and implement enabling communication strategies, publicize government programs and policies to represent the country, local and abroad, stabilize governance, matters of entities reporting to the ministry, expedite digital migration processes, broaden support community media, and transform the media industry. The implications to the current medium-term period for the DOC necessarily would be to stabilize itself as an organ of state, cement its role as a lead department for the communications and branding of the country, and align its activities to the broader macroeconomic policies of government, as we know them, the MDP, NGP, IPAP, so that it can consistently deliver on its mandate. I just want us to sort of look into the global environment around ICT diffusion, and I'll get to the point later. But it's quite obvious that with the exception of fixed line, most of the other network technologies are actually on the rise. That includes your internet, mobile, telephone subscriptions, and so forth. Furthermore, you can, as we all know, that mobile broadband adoption is actually leading far in many countries, especially in Africa, as you can see. We have little fixed broadband, but more mobile broadband. And I also wanted to sort of hit on this particular point around exponential technologies. We have what they call the so-called laws, the Moore's Law, which looked at, you know, the computing powers over the years. We looked at the Cooper's Law, which looked at, you know, the improvement of wireless communications, and of course the Metcalfe's Law that looked at the network effects. For instance, if I may make an example, Facebook. The more the people that are using Facebook, the more the value there is to the particular network. And these, of course, are mostly transformative technologies, and we can go on and on about them. You know, we know that the world is moving towards more networks and sensors and so forth. And we know that technical improvements to the networks significantly reduces the cost of information processing and transmission and storage. But that in itself is inherent to say that the usage also is accompanied by such technical improvements. And I also wanted to look at the internet device focus. And as you'll notice that most of the devices are actually on the increase. The use of smartphones, use of tablets, smart TVs, and wearable technologies, though small, but you can see that they are constantly on the rise. And probably by 2018, we'll have a full diffusion into society. Honorable members, we're coming from very simple value chains, and I think it's important that we hit on this point, but to say that we had a linear approach to the value chains that govern the ICT sector, from 2G to 3G, but you could see the manner in which, you know, the value chain is set up. There was, you know, a silo mentality approach to deploying services. And we come, now we are in a very complex ecosystem, and it's very important for the Department of Communications to actually try to understand and contextualize this ecosystem so that it can enable or empower itself to be able to communicate with its citizenry in that regard. I actually copied this slide from Professor Bauer from Michigan State University, and I think it makes a lot of sense, but in essence, the short story of it is that now there's all these interrelationships between, you know, the network suppliers, the device manufacturers, the content, the services. It's become a very confusing space for everybody. Not only the department, not only parliament, but the entire globe is actually still trying to grapple with dealing with this complexity of what we call this thing. So the onus would be on the department to really start to try to, you know, understand the system as difficult as it is, but to try and carve its niche within the complex ecosystem. We know that one of the overarching issues for the department is the national communication strategy. And I want to basically pin on this based on the previous slide, say that in everything that we do, whether it be infrastructure, ICT services, content development, the important part would be the skills development that would ensure that our communities can actively engage with the department and government and interact, so to speak, in trying to improve the country going forward. So the skills would not only be for the technical people and so forth, but also the people themselves. We need to see how we could leverage from the e-skills development that is headed by the DTPS to see that we have users that are able to engage with the department and government on a social basis. I've highlighted a few of the strategic imperatives for the department. The first one, being the most important, is the amendment of the bills as stipulated in the strategic plan. One being the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, the second being ICASA, the MDDA Bill, Films and Publications Board Amendment Bill, and of course the Trans South Africa Bill. The second would be to say that the department needs to develop a comprehensive communications policy framework in order to bring certainty to the communications landscape. And I have 3 points I would say that one of the major issues that the department would probably have to deal with is the governance framework around itself as well as the entities that it is responsible for. There's a huge emphasis, I think it came out also during the oversight, to say that the department and the entities need to have the maximum of collaboration to ensure that they can then yield the results as per their mandate. And also inter-collaboration between the department and other organs of state to ensure that the message is put across uniformly. So, and I think the chairperson has said in the past that even Parliament is willing to actually take the programs of the department to the constituencies, because as Parliament members also they have constituencies that they can help to influence and promote the message of government. The third one was just to look at saying that we need to have the best human resource and labor practices adopted by the department to enable it to function properly and ease the integration process. The fourth one, again, is underpinned by the previous slides of the complex ecosystem, to say that we cannot negate the fact that the entire world is shifting towards ICTs. Even though the rural areas currently don't have as much diffusion, but the fact of the matter is that in 20 years' time, when the broadband policy is seen to have reached its mandate, we'll have 100% diffusion of smartphones and other technologies in the rural areas. So if the department plans do not really hit on the point of ICT adoption, then we'll have a problem, because the world is converging and the technologies and information is also converging along the line. The other issue that I picked up during the reading of the threat plan or interrogation of the threat plan, I think the department is yet to have about 74 total staff members. And the point I wanted to raise here is that they're managing 6 entities with a total staff complement of 74. That excludes the ministry staff. I'm not sure if the scales would really, do they balance? Can you have that much staff in the department to manage so many entities, which if you look at SABC has more than 1,000 employees, we have to look at those economics. And the last one was looking at the challenges. And this is just, but it's not an exhaustive list, but I think the members do have a reference document to this particular presentation, which will list all the other challenges that I picked up through the interrogation of the threat plan. One is that the media sector is infested with monopolistic tendencies, and of course that inhibits the whole transformation agenda of the country. There is a decline in public funding for communications. There's a decline in use of local languages, and this was also echoed again during our learning
curve last week at the Wits University. There's huge challenges of unemployment in the country and an unfavorable economic climate. The diversification of the ad spend so that it benefits community media initiatives is still a challenge. And then, of course, the universal access of communications infrastructure and information in general is a known fact that it is a challenge for the country. And to say also that language demographics and diversity within the national broadcasting platforms is almost non-existent. And we were actually informed last week during our course that in terms of the commercial national radios, there is no particular radio that is national and can broadcast or broadcast in any of the indigenous languages. And that's a problem for the country with a large population in the indigenous parts. And of course, there's diminishing viewership of the public broadcasting services in the country. And now to look at the budget of the department. Over the medium term, it's safe to say that you could see a steady increase of the price budget by about 11% over the period. That is good, but as to whether it's a sufficient budget is a discussion perhaps for the honorable members to go deep into it. 95% of the budget of the department is spent on entities, on program four, which is the entity oversight. And of course, the other programs have 1%, 1% respectively, with the exception of administration, which has 3% of the total budget. In terms of the entities of the department, the SABC takes a huge sum of the money. And I think there was a mistake in the strat plan. I'm sure the department will highlight that because it highlighted something like 8 billion that's going to the SABC, which I thought was wrong because the actual figure that is allocated to the entities was 1.2 billion. So I don't know where they got the 8 billion, but I'm sure the department will clarify that. But I just wanted to give a scope as to how the department's budget is spent across. And that's the last of the slide, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, our content advisor, Mo. Normally, we were supposed to have this, in advance, so that, we are able to actualize the information that we've all read. We put it there. We're able to engage as a portfolio committee on our own, even before the entities are before us. It is a pity that there is this kind of pressure, and therefore we are just hitting the ground running. But the fact of the matter is to provide that kind of space where we do an analysis, we do a critique, even before we actually interact with all the entities. But that's what is going to be happening in the near future. Thanks for that. I think if there are issues that we really need to anchor, we can do so. But I believe that most of the issues will go along with the presentation of the entities. Let me be guided by members. How do they prefer to deal with this? Should we then, do you want to have a bit of an engagement on this, or would you like us to proceed to the entities, knowing that in future we'll have sufficient space to deal with that kind of an engagement? Honorable Sadie?
Yeah, go ahead. Just two quick issues. Just two quick issues from the analysis. One is with regard to the utilization of community media for adverts by government departments. From your analysis, are you satisfied that we are on board with regard to that particular issue, from the analysis overall, in terms of the department and activities? Secondly, it's an issue that was also a bit linked to the previous presentation.
Mr. Maneka, you can still come here, or you want to respond from there? Come this side, finalize, and then you can go. You're quick to go run away.
I was saying, just from the analysis, are you satisfied that we are on board with regard to the utilization of community meeting for advent? Secondly, is with regard to the utilization of consultants by the department and the entities. What's your analysis? Are you satisfied that we have utilized consultants on not necessarily on matters which would have been handled internally at the level of the department and the entities themselves? That's from your analysis. Are you satisfied that we utilize the consultants only on those matters that could not be handled internally?
Through you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. In relation to the expand, the reason I actually highlighted it is that it is a problem, and I think we've seen over the years that there tends to be more favour towards the mainstream media, not necessarily community media. And I think the onus would be on the department to emphasise a policy that would ensure that all government departments utilise community media for many issues. And we know that there's always adverts going out, but you find them on the national papers like the Star and not necessarily localized to the communities that we affect. So I do think that it is a major problem. I'm pretty sure that the department will hit on this issue in particular, because it has been a contentious issue over the years, even during both parliaments. So I would not want to dictate as much as what they would say or preempt what they're going to say, but I'm pretty sure they will answer into that. On the second issue that you raised around consultants, the reason I was emphasizing a lot around skills is because it's precisely the point. One of the major challenges of our government is that we use consultants only as a result because there's no skills. We don't have a skills development plan that ensures that we actually incubate people or train people within the department so that they can be able to effectively deliver on their mandate. So yes and no, consultants are sometimes good, but too much of consultants is always bad. Hence I was highlighting too much on the skills development for the entire sector, so the department can try and minimize the use of consultants. I hope I answered you correctly.
Okay, maybe we'll note that all issues that are of engagement are a matter of further discussion, engagement, analysis, you know, but it's good that it provides a particular thinking that is drawn. Obviously, there will be areas where the department wants to engage or either give the thinking or a direction, but I must say thank you very much for doing that analysis and digging into all those matters, hoping that in future we'll have a good engagement once we start to project that we can engage with it and then also engage the department along the lines and the thinking that we are drawing from their own content, from their own documents and the strategies. Thank you. Now, as per request now, we are going to get the GCIS. I'm sure it's ready to put up the... Yeah, the presentation is here. But before we actually have the GCIS, obviously the minister is going to lead in terms of giving an outline approach. And of course, minister, if there are things that you think you want to comment on, you're free to also do so. That will help. Thanks. Over to you, Minister Mutambi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we are moving on the premise that GCIS will present, followed by ICASA, followed by the department itself, then it will be CASA, it will be the SABC, and it will be Brandesay for the day. So I think what I will do for now will be to deal with this entity that I'm going to present today, and then for the rest we'll do it tomorrow. So thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. Thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee, also to allow us to present our strike plans and annual plans to this portfolio committee. And then I want to state it up front that the work that the department and the entities will be presenting is a product of our ability to work together in the communication portfolios. I'm in saying this based on the fact that we have met with the entities and the plan, and then you see that our strategies talk to each other based on the collective efforts that we've done in planning together with the entities that fall within the department. And I'm also encouraged by the commitment that has been shown by this colleague from the entities in ensuring that we put the work of the vision of the Honorable President as with regard to constituting this department, but also with regard to the communication sector. I won't deal with much because the presentation will outline it, but let's just say that the mandate of the department, we are responsible for, amongst other, the overarching communication policy and strategy, information dissemination, as well as the branding of the country domestically and abroad, and the improvement of communication and marketing to promote the informed citizens and also assist the country in promoting investment, economic growth, and job creation. We have received all the strike plans and APPs by the entities before they were presented, before we submit them to Parliament. And then we also reviewed them and made inputs, comment them for them to be refined. And then I think these are the following critical matters that came out of these presentations. I'll start with the GCIS. Given the new mandate of the Department of Communication, the work of GCIS as an entity will have to be reviewed. The GCIS gets its policy mandate from the Department of Communications. The Department of Communication is going to focus on ensuring that the COM task report recommendations are implemented to the fullest. It must be noted that the National Communication Strategy has been approved by Cabinet in June 2014, and then it's not fully funded. But we are having discussions with Cabinet and Treasury to that effect to say, what is the point of us then having a communication strategy that we can then not provide funding on it? On the other area that needs to be restructured is the area relating to media engagement, which is one of the core work of the GCIS. This area has so much promise to ensure that government provides an alternative voice in the media space. More government adverts will be carried in Vukuzenzele. Then coming on ICASA. ICASA can be commended for reducing their strategic goals from 8 to 3. At least now we'll be able to measure them accordingly, because initially they had 8, now they've reduced it in their current strategy to 3. This also enables them to focus on their core mandate. Of importance to note is the licensing free-to-air services and additional commercial sound broadcasters in the secondary market. As a department, we'll have to ensure that ICASA conducts market studies to support the business case to license more broadcasting services in the Republic. And then local consent is one of the areas which has been prioritized. With regard to their financials, 64.4% of ICASA budget goes towards compensation of employees, a trend which continues for the remainder of the MPEF period. The view of the department is that more resources need to be allocated to the monitoring and compliance functions of the regulator. This will ensure effectiveness of the regulator in discharging its mandate. ICASA must also look closer to the need to ensure effective management of the radio frequency spectrum. A business case will have to be made in this regard. Then on the SABC, the presentation to be made by the SABC to the portfolio committee. We found it to be correct, safe to say that on the issues that Mbogwa has raised with regard to the allocation, the DG will, I think it was a typical typo error. We'll have to correct that. There were no major issues found, and the officials of the department, including myself, we made a number of inputs to enhance the presentation to the portfolio committee. The corporation is projecting a financially sustainable organization over the next 3 years. The audience share seems to remain constant at 53%, which is a bit worrying. As much as the department understands the challenges facing the sector, the SABC has to make an effort to grow its audience beyond 53%. And I think when they make the presentation, they will outline how are they going to deal with that. With regard to content matters, the corporation had a request for procurement book of more than 600 million, which makes it the biggest RFP issued by the SABC. There are matters that the SABC had raised which still require further engagement. The issues are contained in slide 43 of the presentation. With regard to Brand SA, we have had engagement with the chairperson and the board of trustees of Brand SA. We are in agreement that we need to reposition the brand South Africa in order to enable it to do more branding locally and within the African continent. Initiatives such as Play Your Part must be seen within other initiatives aimed at competing other initiatives such as Proudly South Africa. And then as part of our outcome, there is this issue of a Constitution Day, where you link it with your national item, a national item aspect that you raised with our engagement last year at the portfolio committee. So it's one item that then we need to promote the Constitution in schools, in the county. That will be the work that the Brand SA will be embarking on. And then we also want Brand SA to lead all national, provincial, and local spheres of government with regard to branding matters. And we've also agreed that there's a need to reduce the number of boards of trustees. We will develop the legislation to give effect to all these, as Mbogwa has indicated in his presentation. So I feel we also need to deal with this issue of the regulatory system for the print media, but this is the work of the MDDA. Let's appeal it when we deal with the MDDA and other entities like the Films and Publication Board. But for now, I think this suffices. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. We can proceed and get a presentation then from GCIS. Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, honorable members, colleagues. My name is Donald Dipoko. I'm the Acting Director General at the GCIS. I'm joined here by my colleagues from the department, Ms. Zuki Portier, who is the Head of Planning, as well as Mr. Zuli Momeka, who is the CFO of the GCIS. I will go through the first two-thirds of the presentation, and Mr. Momeka will address the issues relating to the budget of the department. Just as a start, and I do apologize that I will have to leave during Zuli's presentation, but I did want to address two matters. The one related to the Auditor General's comments about the two areas where we could improve our audit performance. Zweli will talk about the controls that are in place around the material misstatement. I just wanted to address the matters that talk to the HR compliance issues. So in terms of verification of applications, We have updated our policies and we have tested them. What we are now doing is we've got a four-tier step that we go through in terms of verifying those qualifications. It's not part of this presentation. I'm just responding to some of the comments. So firstly, what we do is when we are doing the interviews, the CVs and the qualifications therein are sent to SAQA for verification. At the same time, we do a criminal records check with SAPS. We then, based on the seniority of the post, we provide the same documentation through to NIA for security assessment. And of course, seeing as we are working with funds that belong to the public, we also have a service provider that conducts a financial background check so that we have a sense of the financial distress of the candidates that we interview. Those processes are currently in place, and I'm sure when the AG reports, once we have concluded the year, they will give feedback in terms of how those are working. If I can then go to the presentation itself, the DCIS's constitutional mandate.
So there's a hand, I'm sure, on that particular matter you're raising, Honourable Van Dyke.
Sorry, Chair, I did not receive this presentation. And I think the members here didn't receive it.
The DCIS presentation. Yeah, it was circulated to maybe a kid. Can we get the presentation for Honorable Van Dyke? Is there any other member who don't have the presentation? You don't have Honorable Adish? Only the two of you. Remember, please, let's use the parliamentary language. Okay. No. Let's just check if members does have all the documentation required. I'll make sure honorable members to get the presentation. Sorry for not having it in your pack. It was supposed to be there because it was also circulated on email.
I did receive two documents of transport, though.
Can we proceed with the presentation?
My apologies. I was saying those.
I don't think this time is from the fault on our side, because I think we have done what we were expected to do, to submit 7 days before. So Tembinko should take responsibility for sending transport documents to Honorable Fantastic.
I didn't want to enter into that, Minister Special of Transport, but I don't know which other committee the member sees. So if she gets documents, I don't know what was the arrangement. I'll only take responsibility for this one of ours. And yes, for sure, not you. This time, not you, Minister. I think we need to look around. You'll have to dig into the problem, what happened. But I know that even if members don't have a hard copy, you see this is a Portfolio Committee on Communications. They did get the electronic one. So they do have the documentation. And I'm sure with time we're definitely going to be paperless as a Portfolio Committee so that we become the first on the practice. You know, there's huge documentation and impacting negatively on the environment. It's not so right. All right. But nonetheless, can the members who don't have copies get the copies as urgently as possible? Please proceed, Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Chair. I was reflecting on the mandate of the department, which is derived from the Constitution, and that was Section 195G. And what it does enjoin on us is to foster transparency in the public by providing timely, accurate, and accessible information to the citizens so that they're able to participate fully in a functioning democracy. The second thing that I wanted to contextualize is that the DCIS is an implementation arm of the DOC, And a lot of the policies that will be presented in the presentations that follow speaks to how we're going to strengthen the ability of the DCIS to implement this mandate. So when we talk about the strategic leadership in government communication, essentially what we're talking about here is implementing the national communication strategy, which is underpinned by the national development plan. What is also important in this year is that we are supporting the communication of the 9 key priorities that were in the President's State of the Nation address. The 9 priorities speak to the engines of growth that are necessary for us to transform our economy. The second part of that slide, the second bullet point, talks to the coordinating function of the entire government communication machinery. In this instance, there are 2 specific areas around rapid response, which is what we are currently engaged with in terms of managing communication around the attacks on foreign nationals. And, of course, what we also do is we are working hard to entrench communication best practice in all 3 tiers of government. In order to do this, we must have foot soldiers who are able to assist us to take our messaging to citizens in terms of our policies, plans, and programs in all communities. The next slide then speaks to the work that we're actually doing in terms of taking the executive to the people, and this is the best known aspect of it is the INVISO program, as well as the Siasola program, which is led by the president, in which members of the executive interact with the public and ensure that they are following up on the commitments of departments and assessing service delivery on the ground through communication face-to-face with communities. Around the issue of setting and influencing professional communication standards, we have actually developed in the last financial year a basis. There's a course which has now been finalized and handed over to the DPSA, which will form the basis of training a professional communication capacity in government. The last point on this particular slide talks to some degree about the research presentation that we had prior about securing value for money in advertising. I'll come to that when we discuss the CSA program. But in essence, what we have been tasked with doing is making sure that government is extracting maximum value from their advertising spend. And we do this by creating a bulk buying infrastructure through which government departments and state-owned entities can procure advertising at lower rates. The vision of the GCIS is to be the pulse of communication excellence in government. The members of the GCIS are seized with ensuring that we deliver this effective strategic government communication through all the tiers. And we manage this through making sure that there is adherence to standards and we enforce a coherence of messages. And we are proactively looking for opportunities to communicate to the public in different ways. A little bit later on, I will talk about our approach to social media and some of the things that we have done to embrace new technologies to ensure that we are able to keep up with the changing media consumption habits of the public. The diagram that is here is a good summary of all of the programmatic work that is happening in the department. I will start at the bottom, where it speaks about enhancing the image of government and that of the state. We are doing this in collaboration with Brand SA, but the key component, as the minister has touched on, is the role of media engagement in terms of how we are interfacing with the media, both locally and abroad, so that we are able to project the South African government in its best possible light. The green circle speaks to developing an effective and efficient marketing and advertising agency for government. This is the Communication Service Agency that I mentioned earlier, and this Communication Service Agency has been tasked with making sure that it develops and manages a coherent branding strategy for government. So the look and feel for government buildings, government departments, through to business cards, all of those things have to be aligned so that it's quite clear when you're entering a government office, which department it is and what service expectation you can expect at that touch point. The top part, which is that I'm a little colorblind, so it looks like plum from here. The plum color at the top speaks about the work that we are doing in terms of making sure that we are actually hands-on in training communicators at the municipal level, in the premier's offices, so that we are able to build a coherent system so that when we do speak, we are speaking with one voice and we are not coming up with messages that contradict one another. And it's very clear what government's position is on key matters. This, of course, means that we must build a knowledge base that enhances all of these communication products. For the members who had joined the portfolio committee when it came through on its oversight visit, you would have seen that we have created in the offices at City Motheso House a structure around making sure that we make available information to all of our sister departments. So just in terms of contextualizing that strategy, our work is underpinned by the National Communication Strategic Framework. This has been approved by Cabinet in June. We have started implementing it even though it's not fully funded. There are some constraints, but we are doing as much as we can within the confines of our existing budget. What is really different in this administration is that we are focusing on measurement and accountability. So in all of the communications campaigns that we are rolling out, we are beginning to put in metrics, and we are now in a position to start responding and reporting to various measurables such as the impact of campaigns in social media and so on. Our focus is to make sure that the program of action is clearly understood by the public, and through our two soil service centers, we make sure that we are engaging with communities to explain and to unpack that program of action so that they can find a way for them to participate in government's work. The detail is in the slides that will follow. I touched on the fact that we are gearing ourselves up for a digital environment, we have actually started to migrate all of our products into the digital space, specifically looking at developing mobile applications so that South Africans can access government services through mobile phones. The minister touched on the GCIS being reinstituted and what that means. I just to say in brief that it's a Schedule 1 department, and it has been reestablished with the original three programs led by a Director General. In the previous administration, the organization was led by a CEO. It is now led by a Director General. What we have done is to fast-track the ability of the DOC to function. The comment that was highlighted in the AG's report around whether or not there are sufficient people in the DOC for it to implement its work. What the GCIS has done is we have abolished 29 positions in the GCIS to make sure that we can contribute to the DOC's corporate services startup. This will allow the DOC to already have the basis of a corporate services unit that will form the engine that is going to support the other branches. What we're also doing in light of this is that we are reviewing the plans to make sure that we can actually extract the best value from the resources that we have available, both to implement the national communication strategy, but also to make sure that we are servicing the departments, the national departments. departments, the provinces, and the municipalities. If I can go to program two, which is our content processing and dissemination branch, its primary focus is to provide strategic leadership in government communication for the purpose of ensuring coherence, coordination, consistency, impact, and responsiveness of government communication. This is really the engine through which we develop most of the content that speaks to the work of government. And in here, what we're doing is we're enhancing government's communication products, and we are growing our share of voice in the public arena. The areas that that we have addressed, and I'll talk in brief about each one, the Vuk'uzenzele newspaper, which you are all familiar with, we have now got to a stage where we have developed an application for Vuk'uzenzele, the magazine. It's downloadable on the App Store, from the Google App Store as well as the Apple App Store, so that we can expand its footprint. At the end of this quarter, I should be coming back to explain our plans to ensure that we expand the frequency of Vuk'uzenzele. It's currently being published once a month. Our plans for the future are to publish twice a month. It will be the official carrier of government vacancies in the future. The plan is that we should carry all jobs between level 1 to 7 and make these available to community who do not necessarily afford to pay the 12 rands for the national newspapers. The other component is GovComs, which is a publication that is targeted at government communicators, and what it does is it shares best practice content. In light of the budget cuts, we are looking at whether this should become, instead of it being a physical publication, it should become an electronic publication which can be circulated to all government communicators via email. The other component of this branch is to develop the South African Yearbook and Pocket Guide. Those are key resources. These books give an account of South Africa as it develops. They are used in schools. They are available in our public libraries. And we also make sure that they are also distributed to all our missions abroad so that people at home and abroad who want to understand what the developments are in the country have access to the information. These currently, although they are books, we have increased the number of CDs that we are publishing of the SA Yearbook and the Pocket Guide, and we are on track to make these available as multimedia content publications. The other publication that the department produces is the Public Sector Manager, and this publication is basically distributed to all government managers, all government SMS managers. We have 11 editions published annually. It is going to be reviewed during the course of this year. We have not yet had a chance to assess and get reader feedback, but we're looking at ways to enhance this publication in the same way to see if we can make it more electronic and accessible on other platforms. A key sub-program in this branch is the one of policy and research. And what we do in the policy and research space is to focus really on understanding what is happening in the South African public. We do two research reports called the Pulse of the Nation, and these reports, which are countrywide, allow us to get insights into the mood of the country and what it is that South Africa is thinking about government services. We use that content, the insights coming out of that research, to inform departmental communication strategies, first and foremost, but we also use it to make sure that the key messages that we develop for government are actually based on reality and not guesswork from comfortable offices, but we are going out and we are asking communities how they perceive the work that is being done and what their needs are. One of the things that you would have noticed in the last year is that we have been able to pick up our ability to communicate the work of government through opinion pieces. So that last block that talks about communication content that's been produced speaks primarily about the development of communication pieces, opinion pieces that have been placed in the media in partnership with the newspaper sector. So you will find ministerial opinion pieces that are being published every week that give an assessment and a sense of the work of government from 1 week to the next. I think I've duplicated this slide. The communication service agency that I touched on earlier, its primary focus is to provide effective and efficient marketing and distribution services for government. And I think perhaps I can just spell out a little bit what those two components are in the top two roles. Firstly, the marketing services request that the department handles relate to the branding of corporate events. So when government has interactions with the public or stakeholders, we are tasked with ensuring that we can make sure that government looks and feels professional, that the information that is being distributed is of high quality, and that it is relevant to the public for which it is directed at. The second aspect which speaks to distribution talks mainly about the machinery that we have in the GTIS to ensure that we are distributing Buku Zenzele to all corners of this country. But it also looks at how we are making sure that as we develop this competency around electronic distribution, we are able to develop strategies that will allow us to open up our resources and make them more available to the public. The area that I think is also of interest is the performance of the media bulk buying service. Because we are a demand-driven organization, the targets that we have set are based on 100% fulfillment. So we will focus on servicing 100% of all requests that we receive, and we want to be able to implement and turn around that work in an efficient manner. But in brief, I just wanted to say that when we talk about the media buying campaigns, we're actually talking about the campaigns that are being implemented to communicate the work of individual departments. So if it's the Department of Basic Education and they have a drive around the annual national assessments, what they will do is they will contract the GCIS to implement the advertising on their behalf. So we, when you see the actual campaign in press or you hear it on radio, the media buying has been executed through the GCIS. And the same would go for the Department of Health. If we are running a campaign on TB, for example, the custodians of the content are the Department of Health, but the implementation of those advertising communications campaigns is being executed through the GCIS. And so this is what that component speaks to. Of course, what we also do is we make sure that we also do the creative content. So the artwork that is in those campaigns is developed by us using a panel of agencies. The previous presentation did touch on the scope for us to increase our investment as government in community media. And just in brief, and I'm quite sure that there will be further discussion on this point, we are currently spending around 15% of government ad spend in the community media space. It tends to fluctuate between 36 to 40 million rand per annum, and this is being spent in all community media types. So there's community print, community radio, and community television. Our view is definitely that it can be improved. Currently, participation through the GCIS's media buying pool is voluntary, but the Department of Communication is looking at assisting us to develop a policy framework that will allow us to grow this from 15% to 30%. Our view is that that is the only way that we can actually fast track the transformation efforts that are required in the sector. If I can then talk about the Intergovernmental Coordination and Stakeholder Management branch, this is the branch that is really driving the work of ensuring that we have this coherence through the three tiers. The key sub-program is the one of provincial and local liaison. On the field, we don't call ourselves by these names, but you would have experienced and met the colleagues in the provincial and local liaison space. They are the people who are manning our infrastructure in the nine provinces. So if you have interacted with us through our Tusong service centers, these are the teams that are in the Tusong service centers. The work that happens here is primarily in the face-to-face and development communication space. We've just captured the report that we'll be bringing to you in the quarter that is coming up in terms of evaluative progress. What we want to be able to do is when we come through to the portfolio committee is to report on actual work that has been implemented by our teams that are on the ground. But the strategic objective of the provincial and local liaison teams is to make sure that we improve the interdepartmental coordination. So we ensure that we have joint planning and sharing of messages. We are working very closely with the offices of the Premier in each of the provinces, and we are also cascading communication down to municipalities to ensure that we are speaking with one voice. What the local, provincial and local liaison teams also do is they are sharing content in terms of government programs and the aspects that speak to the development coordination, development communication is really used through the Tusong service centers. We've opened those centers up so that they are available to the public on several levels. What we have done is in coordination with our sister departments, like the Department of Home Affairs, Department of Social Development, we're able to offer a variety of government services. You can walk into a Tusong service center and not only get access to the breadth of government services, but we can assist you in terms of how to get an ID. We assist citizens with making sure that they can have the right documentation to apply for grants. We have made infrastructure available, ICT infrastructure available in each of those Tusong service centers, so that people can download government vacancies, they can download a basic template so that they can actually create a CV and apply for work in government. So in order for us to implement this, it does mean that we have to liaise with, on an ongoing basis, stakeholders that include NGOs to make sure that we are communicating our work. We have now developed a product called My District Today, it's a newsletter, which we are publishing each week that summarizes the work that is happening at the municipal level so that we can create a joint vision for the work of communication in the local government sphere. The aspect of media engagement, the Minister just touched on that briefly. What I did want to say about media engagement is that this is the area through which we are providing support for communication around the work of Cabinet. And you will have seen that we drive our post-Cabinet media briefings, the development of statements that outline the decisions that have been taken by the Cabinet. We either do it from here in Cape Town or we will do these post-Cabinet briefings in Pretoria. But the intent is to make sure that there is clarity on government's policies. And we have taken the trouble of making sure that we are not only communicating the work of that Cabinet and its decisions within South Africa's borders, but we are translating those post-Cabinet statements to French and Portuguese because we have an understanding that we have this responsibility to communicate in a broader context within the SADC region. What we also do is we work very closely with the clusters. So each of government's clusters are supported by communicators in the GCIS, and we are working with individual departments to develop communication strategies and to make sure that when we are actually rolling out those policies, we are able to very clearly articulate to citizens why the policies exist and what are the benefits that would accrue to citizens in the policy implementation. Just in closing, what I wanted to assure the members is that the work at the GCIS is ongoing. It is vigorous. The team is focused, and we have been very closely involved in making sure that when we partner with the DOC in engaging with the entities, we're working with them side by side to make sure that we can scale up our abilities to get government's communication and its messaging out to all citizens. And the essence of it really is to strengthen our ability to contribute to Outcome 14, which speaks to nation building and to social cohesion. With those few words, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Momeka just to touch on the finances.
Thank you, Acting DG Chairperson. Thank you so much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members. I will quickly take you through the financial related information. But before I can do that, I was requested to touch base on the audit findings that the AG has commented on with regards to the 2013-14 financial year. I just wish to indicate that, like the AG has indicated, GCIS indeed obtained an unqualified audit. In doing that, GCIS sustained the series of all these audit statuses over the years. We were, however, found wanting on the matter that we had to correct financial statements, and those corrections were material and they appeared on the audit letter. And I just need to perhaps touch base on the elements that gave rise to that. We were found wanting on, even though assets were all accounted for that were procured during the financial year under review. We had challenges with allocating major assets, mixing them with minor. The reason being, we really did a big procurement of assets when we occupied the new building. It's a once-off project, but we have since corrected that. Systems are in place to make sure that such mistakes do not happen. Assets are reconciled on a monthly basis, and I'm quite happy that we are definitely winning in that regard. So we have to correct that. The other matter, although during the 2013 and 14 audit, the Auditor General did not find us wanting on accruals and commitments, we had to restate the accruals and commitments that were declared in the prior year, that is year 12, year 13. And that was the finding. So it was basically correcting what was declared in the prior year. And I can indicate to the August committee that we are putting systems in place to make sure that such misstatements do not reoccur. Acting DG of Communications, Ntate Norman Mujalele also asked me to touch base on the comment that was made earlier with regards to SABC grant. I know that the SABC management is here, but I wish to indicate that indeed the entire revenue, expected revenue for 2015-2016 of SABC is 8 billion, and the government only contributes a certain portion. So our portion is not the entire 8 billion. SABC does generate income on other revenue streams. And that is the only point that I wanted to touch base on. Moving straight to the slides, Chairperson, I don't think there is really much to say on this. Our budget is quite straightforward. The first slide basically gives a dashboard of the entire departmental budget, including spending items. The budget for 2015-16 financial year totals to 365, and it's got those indicative allocations over the MTF, which are protected against the inflation. And for 2016-2017, we have 381 allocated to GCIS, and the outer year is 402. The next slide seeks to basically give an indication of how programs are constituted as well as how funds are allocated. Program one, we've got various areas that are quite administrative in nature, and I do know that members do understand that one, so I'm, if you allow me, I'm not going to really go straight into that one just to save time. But there is 140 million allocated and 146 as well as 153 over the MTF. The second program, which is content processing and dissemination, this is where the department prints a number of its products, including Vuvuzenzele and SAEA book, and there is money allocated to ensure that indeed that target is realized. The research, we also do some researches there, and we have allocated money to do some researches. Also, those products that are printed and distributed, we translate them to other official 10 languages to ensure that all South Africans get access to these government products. So the budget for that content processing and dissemination program two is 130. I need to indicate, honorable members, that we have combined that with the program four, which is communication service agencies, because they are managed by the same DDG and they form the same branch. So these are not necessarily separate branches. Then the next branch that I need to talk to is the intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management. It's got a budget of 95 million over the MTF, 99 as well as 105 million. And in that program, we do a lot of work covering the campaigns on the sonars, radio and TV transmissions. Because our mandate really is to make sure that the government message gets to the people. We also do some advertisements on the newspapers, and I do know that it was raised whether does the department use community radio stations as well as newspapers. Indeed, there is an effort by the department to use community media to disseminate the South African message. And I think that is basically the story that I needed to share with the committee. In conclusion, in the absence of the acting DG, GCIS is committed to assisting all government departments and its entities with government communications services. The second bullet, it remains committed to communicating the national development and government plans, programs, and achievements. We will, together with other departments, implement the national communication strategy. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, here's the presentation for GCIS and it's open for discussion. Can I have members that need to interact with it? Honourable Van Dyke.
I just need to get clarity on something. Since 2012, there was an acting CEO, and now that person is now replaced by an acting director general. I just want to know why it takes so long to make the position permanent, what the reason for that is, and then also in the past performance management was problematic, and I want to know if that is still the case. And then on the... It was mentioned that 15% of the budget is spent on community media, and I would like to know how the rest is spent, or where is it spent. And then also the my district, where is it distributed? Because I receive it on email, but if it's supposed to be for the community, how do they get hold? I just want to find out what on that. And then also percentage-wise, how much of the budget goes to personnel? That's all for now.
Thanks, Honourable Van Dyke. Any other comment or any question, response? Or we want to do it, Minister? Please do.
I want to first deal with the one of the CEO because that's where I need to come in. With regard to the CEO, now YDG, I think the proclamation by the President on the 15th of July deals with this issue. To say then there had to be a change on how to weigh in now the CEO then has been assigned the responsibility of a Director General. Like we've indicated in our presentation earlier that GCIS now is now a Schedule 1. Department within the Department of Communications. We reported last time, and sir, you have well captured it, the issue of initially then dissolving GCIS to the Department of Communication, and then a further clarification now that we are back as GCIS now as a Schedule 1 entity. Initially, it was based on that then the position couldn't be filled because then there was that initial understanding by GPSA that it's going to be part of the Department of Communications. Now, since the establishment of the new GCIS, we've just, on the 1st of April, and we appointed an acting DG with effect from the 1st of April. What I can say now is that we've set the processes in motion now to recruit both DGs of the department and the DG of GCIS, in which when we report back to the portfolio committee, we'll be able to update the portfolio committee to that effect. I thank you. I think the rest really will be able to deal with.
Yeah, maybe even before we go to that, it also helps the alignment if it's now DG, you know, rather than the CEO, and I think it's a good development. Maybe the issue that can arise, Minister, is that because they are now DG for the department, DG for GCIS, how the coordination will happen, but since we've just referred Schedule 1 department, then we'll go along in that way. We hope maybe it's clearer moving forward. Okay, proceed with other questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister. The GCIS is making serious inroads in spending on community media, those including radios as well as newspapers. And this is not only for the funds that are appropriated within the GCIS's budget. This also includes spending funds that GCIS more often buy media spaces on behalf of other departments. I do not have the specific figure, but I'm quite happy to come back with a specific figure. But I do know that as a CFO who does a lot of procurement authorization, there is a concerted effort to really prioritize and make sure that the community media does get a fair share. I'm quite happy to come back with the figure to you. I don't have a specific figure right now.
Yes, Honorable Fundite.
Sorry, Key, I know about the 15% that's spent on community media. It's the rest that I'm actually curious about.
Yes, Honorable Chaplain, to make sure that the messages are sent and received and reach all South Africans, GCIS uses all forms of media that it has access to. And we actually have a tool that indicates the reach, the optimization of the funds that we actually use. Before we can decide to use a certain newspaper or a certain media platform, that there is a telemark research that has been conducted, and we source information from that research. I'm not a technical person on media, but I do know that there is a tool that is up to date that we subscribe to and we have access to, and we basically use that to make sure that government messages do reach all South Africans. Be it in the rural areas, we use various communication platforms. We there is a concerted effort. We do use commercial media. We do use the state broadcaster, and based on that research, we use all forms of media. Yes.
You want to add, Minister? Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question on the circulation of my district today. GCIS has got a database, Honourable Member, with comprising around 10,000 people or members. Where the circulation of this my district or this publication is sent, and this comprises leadership, upper LSM groups, business, civil society, government departments, local government structures, faith structures, districts, CDWs, MPs, MPLs, unions, agencies of government, etc. But we do have a database of circulating my district today. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thanks, Isha. Okay, members, maybe and Minister, thanks for this presentation. Maybe one issue that you need to emphasize, the issue of that you raised, Minister, of funding for the communication strategy. We really support that. I think really what would be the point of having a strategy that is not funded is one matter that we need to have a way of emphasizing it and getting it right. Otherwise, then it's not going to work without the funds. We agree absolutely, Minister. That one needs us to put all the efforts to ensure that it happens that way. There must be funding, and it must be direct. It shouldn't scramble for funding. Well, it should just be known that this is how it works. And then I'm also encouraged, and you know, about the location of the COM task and also the intention to sort of deal with all those matters that came together with that. The alignment as well in terms of what you've rightly highlighted would realize and know that there have been a backwards and forward movement, and the relocation now, which is currently presented at this moment, as the members of the portfolio committee would definitely look into how the department grows at GCIS. We definitely understand that now they're putting it up in a particular way, and we can't be hard and fast at this point in time, but to definitely watch and be tight and look at it with time, because this is one of the most important entities under the minister that needs to kick up properly and correctly. So thank you very much. Honorable members, Minister, ladies and gentlemen, let me afford you a 15-minute break to just grab tea, we sit and proceed. Of course, we'll watch our speech if we manage the entities. For now, 15 minutes, let's come back so that once we break for lunch, we will have done the DOC as well.